Can you believe it? This is episode number 100.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendlin and his network of Road Trekking reporters.
That's right. This is episode number 100. August 10th, 2016 is the release date of this, the Road Trekking RV Lifestyle Podcast. So we welcome you. And no matter what kind of an RV you have, a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, maybe you're just thinking about getting one someday. No matter, this show is for you because here we talk about being out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, traveling, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering great places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RVing lifestyle. So we welcome you and are honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, joining me right now at the very start of this episode 100 is my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Mike.
Well, this was pretty exciting.
Wow. Well, who would have thought it?
100 issues. We had a lot of email and some voicemail, and let's just play one of them here.
Hello, Mike and Jennifer. This is Lisa, and I'm calling to congratulate you on your 100th episode. Thank you very much for all the RV education that I've received from listening to all your podcasts. Looking forward to the next 100 and more. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa, and thanks to the others who put it in. I was going to put either a whole string of them, but just one's enough. I think the biggest surprise was something we got in the mail the other day.
That was such a big surprise.
It was a great big, I don't know, how big was it?
It's pretty big.
Great big proclamation signed by Governor Rick Snyder, the governor of the state of Michigan, honoring us for 100 episodes of the podcast and saying what a great ambassador this program has been to camping and particularly Michigan. Pure Michigan is the kind of the marketing campaign that Michigan does. And even though we are in other states probably more than we are in our own state, we have done a lot of reports on Michigan, especially the Upper Peninsula. And anyway, that was just so kind of the governor to take note of that. And we thank Ari Adler, who is a road trekker and happens to be the governor's director of communications, who I am sure brought it to the governor's attention and got him to sign that proclamation for us. But wasn't that nice?
It was a big surprise.
Are we going to frame that?
We are.
It's too big to put in the road trek, though.
It is. It would take up too much room.
Yeah, it's great. You know, that's the question. What do you do with stuff like that? You know, we love it and it's good. We'll look at it a lot. I think we'll put it in our studio at our Sticks and Bricks home. But then someday our kids will get it. And what'll our kids do? They're like, oh, gee, what are we going to do with all these things? That's their decision, right?
We've weeded out a lot of things for them. They'll probably like this one.
Well, I didn't know what to do about our 100th episode, except maybe just to sort of start a little bit of just a little reminiscing from us on how it all came about. And some of our thoughts. What are your thoughts, my dear, as we do 100?
I am amazed because poor you. You have me as your wife because you told me you were going to start doing this. And I said, oh, no, are you sure you want to do this? Because you have to do this every week, no matter where we are. Rain, shine, whatever. You've got to crank one out.
Now, tell the truth. Did you think this would take off?
No. But, you know, I mean, when I first started dating you, you worked in radio.
Well, this isn't radio.
You love radio. You love
I still
microphones.
I still do a lot of radio.
Yeah, you do. You like
from
that.
From amateur radio to regular commercial radio. And
I think that might be your first love, radio.
Yeah, I like radio. I like. There's something about communicating voice to voice in people's ears, so to speak. But why didn't you think this would work?
I don't know. I guess I just you have little faith. What can I say?
Neither did my son, Jeff, who is a part of this crew and works with us. And I think you all were counseling me that it's too much more work. It's additional work.
It takes 2 days a week.
Every bit of 2 days. I don't think the folks at Road Trekking, which is certainly our major sponsor, although they're not a sponsor of the podcast per se, they are everything else we do. I don't think they really thought anything would come of it either. I don't think anybody except me saw this vision. And I don't mean to be bragging here, but I just thought that this was a perfect opportunity to be able to communicate directly with people who were doing what we do as they drive, even.
You've forgotten one person who sells RVs, Class B motorhomes, who had faith in you.
Who? Who? You know, you're telling me. I don't know who you're talking about.
Well, you'll think about it.
The only person, well, the first one was Ray Dwyer from Van City RV.
That's right.
Ray does not own that dealership anymore. He was kind of the dean of RV sales. But that was, Ray went back when I first started the whole blog. He was the first dealer who reached out to me and said, this is great. I really think you're onto something with this small motorhome lifestyle. And Ray was my very first sponsor.
That's right.
And then I think another one that we have to give credit is our friend Chad Neff over at American RV in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Chad saw the value of the blog. Anyway, Chad's not a podcast sponsor, but Ray Dwyer, and he sold Van City RV, and now it's owned by a group that has three RVs, but they continue to be a very supportive sponsor. And holy cow, we have eight sponsors now. And I think every week I get someone else who would like to sponsor us. And we have, I've not had any of our listeners complain about too many sponsors. And you've been good about that, because that's really, you know, this takes two full days and a lot of bandwidth to do. There are a lot of costs with it. But I had no idea that it would have that many sponsors.
I think my concern was the time that it would take.
Yeah.
And like I say, that commitment that you have to do it every week, because you do that a lot. You get locked into commitments.
Well, I get all excited about this stuff.
You do. You get excited about life, and that's one of your best characteristics.
Well, thank you. But I had no idea. I thought we would do this as a weekly. I didn't see any problem with it being a weekly, but I didn't think it would pick up the audience it has. We're close now to almost 2 million downloads on this program, and they say that each download is listened to by at least two different people, so that's pretty amazing. We get email, and we get a lot of phone calls. A couple of things I wish we got better. I wish we had more voicemail from people. I think they're afraid. Our demographic skews a little older, and a lot of our audience is sort of, I don't want to say afraid of technology, but they're not very comfortable with it. And the idea of using their computer or their smartphone to leave a message and record their voice, I think, intimidates people. But I love hearing those other voices, don't you?
I do. And just write it out. Write what you want to say. Get your thoughts on paper. Read it out loud. And then go for it.
And phone it in. Use that little leave voicemail link on the blog. It's very simple to do. But that's I had hoped for more participation in that. But again, I think it's, I did do for a while another podcast on technology, and I had a lot more people. They were just used to it, you know, no big deal. But our audience is skews a little older, and I think that's it. But anyway, come on in. The water's fine. We love to get your voices. And I'm always a little frustrated. I get notes, not all the time, but maybe once every couple of weeks from somebody who says, we really would like to read a transcript of it. And you can't do that. I mean, I could if I had a multi-thousand dollar budget for this program and hired somebody, but I would have to do the program a week in advance, because that's how long it takes to develop a transcript, at least a week. And that would take away from the news element of it. You know, we try and stay current. And it would also, I just think it would add too many elements to
make it too complication. Much work.
So, yeah. So no, there will never be a transcript. However, I spend probably more time than I should on the show notes trying to make links to everything we talk about. I wish I could find a way to make that process easier. It's hard enough to record this and then edit it and put it in all the right formats, but then to have to do the show notes, that takes up a lot of time too. So it's probably closer to 3 days work for this 1 hour podcast. I mean, and we're talking long days, not just
so
a couple hours.
Telling me that I was right in saying that maybe this wasn't a good idea.
No, it was a great idea. It's just, it's a lot of work, and we've been able to do this everywhere. It's been fun, hasn't it? We've done it from beaches and mountains and hotel rooms once when we got stranded on the side of the road, and in the wintertime and all different seasons, outdoors, indoors. It's been amazing.
It has been fun.
I think my favorite time was down at the Hershey RV show last year when we were in a hallway and somebody in front of us heard you talking, your voice, and they turned around and they recognized your voice.
I never thought that would ever happen.
Yeah, well, they did. It was pretty fun. So anyway, it has been 100 episodes, and We will, it's not been, not even, it'll be 2 years in October that we started this. And usually it's once a week. We've done a couple of shows on location at the big national RV show in Louisville. We did a couple extra ones there. I think we did one at Hershey. We did one someplace else. I don't know if we'll do more of those because, you know, it's a lot of work. But every week we've been able to do it, Lord willing. And we'll keep doing it for a while more. But thank you for being my partner with all of this.
Oh, this is fun.
It is fun. So you of little faith, but oh, well, it was.
I was just looking out for you.
All right. Hey, we got RV news coming up. We've got basic training coming up. We've got all sorts of things. But right now it is time to put Jennifer to work.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
It's the time of year that stargazers have been waiting for, the Perseid meteor shower. On the night of August 11th and the morning of August 12th, hundreds of tiny meteors will dart through Earth's night sky, putting on a spectacular light show for late night viewers. And those who stay up for the shower this year may be rewarded with a particularly special cosmic performance. Experts suspect there will be even more shooting stars than average in this year's shower. And although the showers will peak August 11th and 12th, this year there will be lots of meteors to see all the way through August 24th. How much more? About double the average. The Perseid meteor shower got its name from the constellation Perseus, the area of the sky where the meteors seem to originate from. But in reality, each meteor in the shower is debris from a comet called Swift Tuttle, which takes 133 years to orbit the sun. Whenever the comet swings close by the star, the space rock gets superheated and ejects a bunch of dust particles. These tiny chunks then form a stream of particles that stretches across the comet's orbital path. Earth passes through the debris field once a year, causing many of the particles to burn up in our planet's atmosphere. The particles streak through the sky at super high speeds, too. They burn through the atmosphere at 132,000 miles per hour and reach temperatures as high as 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. But don't be alarmed. The shower poses absolutely no threat to Earth. The comet pieces burn up about 50 miles above the Earth's surface, according to NASA. Most years, those watching the Perseid shower can expect to see about 60 to 80 comets per hour. But this year, there could be more than twice as much. Typically, Earth just grazes by Swift Tuttle's debris field. But our planet will be even closer to these particle streams this year, thanks to some help from our neighbor, Jupiter. The gas giant occasionally gets close to the comet stream, and its immense gravity pushes the debris near to Earth. Experts think this effect will be on full display this year. Under perfect conditions, rates could soar to 200 meteors per hour. If you want to catch the Perseid meteor shower, the best time to start watching is after midnight local time. If you aren't able to watch on the 11th, the shower may still be visible on the night of August 12th and the morning of the 13th. And remember to see lights in the sky. You'll want to get away from lights on Earth. To learn more about the Perseid and other summer meteor showers, we'll put a link to space.com, Best Summer Meteor Shower Guide, on our show notes page at roadtrekking.com/100.
And although that shower is on the 11th and 12th, they say, as you said, it's going to last until the 24th. So lots more meteor activity. So
we have to get someplace dark.
I think we're leaving Tuesday, right? We're heading off Tuesday for a trip to the south. And we're going to go catch some early football from one of our grandsons down in Georgia. But we'll be someplace that we can watch it. We can next week. But maybe we can on Thursday, Friday night. We got a nice little park right up the road that we head to. Maybe we'll do it.
We got to go watch.
Yeah, it's fun. You know what I love is lying on a blanket a nice summer night, looking up at that sky. That's going to be fun. So make your wish when you see those falling stars, which are really just little particles. Well, thank you. That's a very interesting tip, Jennifer.
That's fun.
Jennifer's tip of the week. Brought to you every week by Good Sam, the world's most popular RV organization, now celebrating its 50th year. Go to goodsam.com/roadtrekking. Now, that's the special link that you need to take to join for $27 a year. That's all it will cost you. And then you will save even more. The first thing you do when you join at goodsam.com/roadtrekking for $27, you immediately get then a $25 credit to camp at one of the more than 2,100 Good Sam RV parks and campgrounds. So in other words, you're getting $25 off your stay. That means your whole thing has cost you just $2 for your membership if you use that $25 off on your camping excursion. The other thing is you save even more. You save, for example, every time you go to a Good Sam RV park with your membership card, you save 10%. From what other people who are not members pay. And you also save on fuel at Flying J, the Pilot Flying J gas station chain across North America. And you save one other way at Camping World, the club's official RV accessory retailer. So there you go. You got to go to goodsam.com/roadtrekking and you'll save money right from the very, very start.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
All right, we're going to take a couple of questions, both of them related to the same topic, which is air conditioning, which we talked about last week. Kind of ironic because the air conditioner on our house here in Michigan went out today. We're waiting for a guy to come and fix that, isn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, on air conditioning for our RV, we've got a couple of questions there, and then we'll dig into the email bag because I know some of you, like I said earlier, some of you don't like to leave voice questions. We love to get those and we always give preference to them, but we will try and answer email questions from time to time. But before we hit the air conditioning question, let's go to David. He has a question about the vehicle we have, which is the Road Trek CS Adventurous XL. He likes it, but he's got one reservation. Here's David.
Hello, Mike. This is David, and I'm really looking seriously at buying a CS Adventurous with the luxury EcoTrek package. There's only one thing that I don't like about the CS. Of course, I like the big refrigerator and that kind of thing, but the limited counter space. And I'm wondering what you think about the possibility of passing on a recommendation that the countertop kitchen countertop would continue further where they have the pantry, have that countertop, cabinets below, one cabinet above, you know, maybe an extra window there, but just continue the countertop all the way over to where the bed starts. I think it would be a lot nicer coach. It has a beautiful refrigerator and all the comforts at home, and then that would make it a beautiful galley as well. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to let you answer that question, my dear, and I'll weigh in a little bit. I guess I should say before that money solves all problems, David, and you could probably talk to Road Trek Direct, and I'm sure for a premium they'll design just about anything you want. But you ask if I would recommend it, and I'm going to defer to my better half. Jennifer, do you think that countertop should be extended there?
I think you're going to say no, and I'm going to say yes, because
really?
I think what David said sounds really nice, to have another window, and I don't know whether they can do that or not, but that sounds really nice to me. Give up a little bit. I don't know how many inches you'd give up there. It depends on your height.
Well, you would lose your pantry.
You'd lose some of it. There'd be a cupboard above, and I don't know how 12 inches, 18 inches. I don't know how big of a space he wants to have it all countertop. There's a little drop counter the other side of the pantry, and I use that a lot. And then there's another one by the wardrobe where I set things because when I need extra space.
Yeah, so it's a little shelf that you can kind of pull out and you use that. So I didn't think you'd say that.
And if you needed the extra space, you could also put up your table in the front by the driver's seats.
Yeah, I suppose you could.
You know, you got to juggle the space.
You have to remember, this is a 23-foot van, and you only have so much space. I thought there was plenty of counters, but then I don't cook.
You don't cook.
No, you kicked me right out.
Yeah, because there's not enough room.
That is where the very first video we did is where you had the famous line where you said to me,
I need some space with you not in it.
Yes.
And I could never live it down. You had to go... post it everywhere.
Every woman that we meet, I swear, everybody has heard that, and they laugh at me, and they say that they've all felt the same way towards her significant other as well. But I need space with you not in it. And that's because maybe he's right then. All right, so you think then that it makes sense to have a little longer countertop. And
I can see why that appeals to him.
All right. Well, I'm sure, as I said, money solves all issues, and I'm sure you could talk to your dealer or talk directly to Road Trek themselves and ask them what's involved in that, but you could do it.
I'm sure for supports and things, there's all kinds of engineering, all kinds of design things that have to work out.
It isn't as easy as you think.
No, but, nothing is.
All right, so there's a split decision, David. Jennifer sides with you. I say, hey, I like all that extra storage because I get my coffee pot in there.
Because you have all your gear
and
all my electronic gear.
I do. Well, I got to do this podcast on the road. Mm. All right. So there you go. Jennifer says, good idea, David. I say, yeah, okay. If Jennifer wants it, it's fine with me because happy wife, happy life. Okay. One other question has to do with our air conditioner. And this came from Daryl. And Daryl got some, I think, some bad advice. But let's listen to Daryl's question, and then we'll weigh in on it.
Hi, Mike. I really appreciate your information. And I was listening to your presentation about the undermounted air conditioning system, which seems highly appealing to me because of the fact that I've been about 20 years RVing, and it's very frustrating to have those air conditioners running here in California on the roof. Can never seem to really cool the coach down. Of course, I've been dealing with Class A's, and I'm very interested in getting a Class B. But here's what happened today. I called a dealer up, and it's a Road Trek dealer, and they just sold a brand new coach that has the undermounted air conditioners, not on the roof, but on the underside from Pro Air. And they said the ACs are out and they're very frustrated with Pro Air because they're not responding to them in a timely fashion. And he's not sure how soon they're going to be able to get it fixed. And he advised me that I may not want to go that way just because of the fact that these AC systems could be really difficult to service out there, because they're not nearly as universal. Just about anybody can fix one of those roof ACs. So I thought I'd just pass that information along to you and get your input. And I'm seriously considering getting a brand new or used late model, maybe 2016 and above, Road Trek E-Trek with the full battery system and so forth. So anyway, hope you have a great day. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, thank you for putting that in. And I should say, we wrote extensively about this, and we even talked about it a lot. We had a whole interview last week and episode 99. You can find that at the roadtrekking.com blog. And then I did a post and some photos of our system, which is the Pro Air undermount. So I don't want to repeat all that information, but you can go back and find that. However, I do want to just correct a couple of things. I found nothing but great support from Pro Air. These guys, we stopped by their facility in Elkhart, Indiana last week, and they were just so nice. They really knew what they were doing. They were all over this thing, and I was very impressed with them. Very impressed. And here's the thing on our unit, and I don't know what kind of unit the dealer out there in California had, but some of the earlier units, remember ours was a prototype, it was hard to get to. It's mounted underneath, and you had to crawl underneath or get it up on a hoist, and not all places can have a hoist that'll pull it up. The newer models, the Generation 2, as I understand it, now ours is Generation 2 in terms of its innards, but it doesn't have this new drop-down container for the RV, which will let them just drop it down, and then you can easily work on it. But I asked these guys especially about it at Pro Air, and they said that it's a basic RV air conditioning unit. And if you can, anybody can work on it, it's just open it up and there you go. It's all the same parts. It's there's nothing unique about it other than the fact that it is mounted underneath. They've been doing this for years for ambulances, for airport shuttle vans, and things like that without any problem at all. Why do you want one? Well, it's quieter. And here's the other thing. It's cooler. You mentioned in California we have to run the air all the time. Many of us all over the country are running air all the time now. The undermount that Pro Air is selling on these road treks cools at least 10 degrees cooler than the traditional roof-mounted air conditioning unit. So that's why so many people like it. Now, they're only on new units because this is brand new innovation technology. So there's no retrofits going to all those who bought an older unit or even a current. They can't retrofit them because the wiring is completely different. So maybe someday, I don't know. But now, no, you have to get it on a new unit. And that's what I do. I'd check it out. When you go to a dealer, the dealer's going to want you to buy from his lot. Always on his lot because he's got money tied up in those vehicles out there. That's the quick turnaround. They will certainly let you order a unit, but they'll push what they have on the lot. So if you want one of these newer systems, I'm pretty sure you have to have it built as a brand new one. We like it. It's cooler. It's faster. I like the fact that I have my roof now clear so I can put in all the solar panels that we have up there. And it looks nice. It looks really nice and streamlined.
And it does. And also, as far as the E-Trek, I loved our E-Trek. Yeah. I like our Adventurous that we have now, but I loved our E-Trek.
Yeah, we get these prototypes, you know. We had the very first E-Trek that was out there, and the CS Adventures is, there were only two of them made like ours. So a lot of the stuff we have, they've leapfrogged past this. We've had ours now for 2 years and 50,000 miles we put on it. So all that technology is now generation two that we were the first ones to try out.
Okay, the trade-offs, the E-Trek small refrigerator.
Yes, small refrigerator. And that's a big deal.
That's a big thing if you're going to be on the road for a period of time.
We love that refrigerator. All right, well, let's go to a couple of quick emails that came in. People who did not leave us a voice message, but we've got one here from, let's see, Mike. He says, hey, Mike, my wife and I have a 2013 Newmar Mountaineer. That's a Class A, and I'm trying to improve our Verizon 4G hotspot Wi-Fi signal. It's usually very adequate out on the highway or in truck stops. Once we hit the RV parks, the signal degrades significantly. You mentioned that you use a cellular booster and external antenna in the article. Would you share the brand and any information? Mine is a Wilson cellular booster, and mine's several generations old. I've had mine now for almost 3 years. And I've not needed to replace it. They've upgraded. There's newer models out now. If you go to wilsonamplifiers.com, wilsonamplifiers, all one word, .com, I'll put a link also on our show notes for this episode. So if you're driving down the road, you don't have to write it down. Just go, when you get to a computer, go to roadtrekking.com/100 and scroll down in the questions section, and I'll put a link to wilsonamplifiers.com, and you can look at the units they have. You want a cellular booster, they have external antennas that you can get on that comes with one very small, just a couple inches. I opted to get a little bigger one. To tell you the truth, though, Mike, I don't need that amplifier nearly as much as I did 3, 4, 5 years ago when we started off, because the Verizon network is now so widespread, so far advanced across the country, that there are very few places that I can't get in with a good signal. You mentioned campgrounds. When you're in a campground, you have trouble. One of the reasons you have trouble in a campground is that everybody else is on that same cellular system. So you might be in a small town, you know, where there's one cellular and it can maybe handle 20 calls simultaneously, which is about typical of some of the smaller cells. But if you're in a campground with 200 people, they're all trying to access that cell, and you know the pipe is only so big. So that's one of the reasons you get degraded service, because you get so many other people who are also using the cell phone for the amplifier. So you don't have much choice with the Class A. You got to stay in a big RV park, but that's one of the issues that you find. And of course, we all know how bad campground internet is because it's also shared and they have all the people using that pipe as well. So that's kind of the state of the issues right now because of campgrounds. Everybody's using the same access, whether you're cellular or whether it's just the campground Wi-Fi. It's going to be often hard to use the system in a campground. That's another reason we like to boondock so much. Anyway, wilsonamplifiers.com, and you'll be able to check out those cell boosters. And then Reader Vic passes along a great tip. Jennifer, you asked for tips last week about traveling with your dog. We talked about some of the adventures we're having with Joe. Here's what he says. He says, great newsletter this week, as usual, in reference to your request for input while traveling with our pet. When we got our Nova Scotia duck toller, Daisy, from the breeder, she asked us to promise that Daisy was in a crate while our van was moving. Since she was a puppy, she has traveled in her crate, which we take on our 3 to 4 month trips to the United States. We have a soft crate brand, which has a metal frame, but canvas material with plenty of screening. We only place her in the crate when the van is in motion, and she never complains. We never worry about a possible sudden stop and her becoming a projectile. Our SS Agile is smaller than your RV, and the nice thing about this crate is it sits easily in the aisle when in use, but flattens to the thickness of a pancake when folded, and it folds quickly and can be placed outside while camping without fear of getting wet. I hope that's information. Orvis sells this crate. We bought an identical one online through another website for $60. So there you go. It's kind of a soft crate.
How big is Daisy? What does she weigh?
I don't know. I don't know that breed. The Nova Scotia duck toller.
Sounds like a big dog.
I don't know. It sounds like a water dog. I mean, while you're looking at it, that's the thing. Because we have a dog. We can't find a crate that he can really fit in that would fit inside a...
We have a couple of crates, and they're too big to fit inside the RV. But this soft crate is...
They are awesome. A medium-sized breed, gun dog bred, primarily for hunting. It must be a waterfowl hunter. Smallest of the retrievers, often mistaken for a small golden retriever. 17 to 20 inches. Male is 18 to 21 inches, and they go up to about 44 pounds. So a little smaller than our dog. Yeah. But that's good information.
That is good information.
Yeah, that's very good. Thank you, Vic, for sending that in. And then one last email that came in. This is from reader Catrion. I think that's a French name. Catrion. C-A-T-R-I-E-N. I don't know that that's male or female, but that's because I don't know French. You do. You know. You don't remember it. Anyway, she says, good day, he or she. Good day. I'm wondering why I do not see anything in your newsletters pertaining to dumping sites in Canada and the U.S., especially for ones who cannot get campsites and use the free stopping places like Walmart. Well, Walmart doesn't have any dump sites, but Catrion, I think I'm pronouncing it right. Somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, and forgive me if I am pronouncing it wrong. Catrion, I think. I want to just refer you to the Allstays app. Allstays, of course, is one of our sponsors. You'll hear them later on in the program, but they their app lists everything from campgrounds to places that offer dumping services, rest areas, truck stops. Just get the Allstays app. Look it up on any smartphone you have. Allstays, all one word, and you'll find them right there. They have a list of all the dumping, and it's always updated, so you can't go wrong. Hey, if you'd like to be a part of the program, we love to get your questions. Here's how you do it.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question. Leave a comment. Look on the right side of Mike's RoadTrekking.com blog and click the Send Voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
And sponsoring this part of the podcast, Van City RV in St. Louis. You heard me talk about them. They were the very first RV dealer that came along and said, hey, I really believe in what you're doing. That was almost 5 years ago now, and we thank those guys. New owners on Van City RV, Ray Dwyer, the guy who owned it, sold it and kind of retired. He was the dean of RV sales, but now it's owned by a company that has two other dealers as well, and they have continued the legacy of Van City RV. Excuse that. See, you can tell I do these live. That's my dog, Bo, who was down here as we were doing their podcast. And Somebody must have made a noise. That, was that you that made that noise?
I made a noise. He was sleeping.
He was sound asleep, so something scared him. Anyway, Van City RV now has two other dealerships around the country, and they have continued Ray Dwyer's firm commitment to the Class B small camper van type RV lifestyle. Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, Nevada, bringing you a large inventory of Class Bs from three locations. And if you're looking for a Class B, this is the first place you should check, because these guys specialize in Class B RVs, and they have them from all of the major manufacturers: Road Treks, Pleasure Ways, Leisure Travel Vans, Chinooks, Class B, B Pluses, even some small Class Cs. So you want to check them out. We always have Dan the Van Man from Van City RV with what their specials are this week, and Danny joins us right now.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, we got some tremendous savings right now on our 2016 Chinooks, built on the 24-foot extended chassis. These units are equipped with the rear Automotive Pro Air, your regular RV air and generator, and also a 3,000-watt inverter. You can check those out at VanCityRV.com. Give us a call for a great out-the-door price. We also have some great savings on our 2016 190 Popular with the twin beds, rare find. Give us a call today, 1-800-467-3905. Or check them out at VanCityRV.com.
Time now for RV basic training. Tips, tricks, and how-to info to make you a happy camper.
Well, one thing that makes us happy campers is getting good fuel economy. Now, I don't know, in our travels all across the country this year, we have been continuing to pinch ourselves because fuel prices are low, both diesel and gasoline, and that has been great. But saving money, especially when we're traveling all those miles every day and improving our fuel economy, is at the top of every RVer's wish list. I want to thank Mark Polk from RVEducation101.com and Campgrounds of America for putting together a tip sheet that we're going to use here. We'll put a link to that tip sheet, easy ways to get more miles from each gallon of fuel that's out there. The first thing these guys suggest is that you talk, and I think this is a really good one, talk to other RVers that have whatever it is you're driving, whether it's a tow vehicle or a trailer or a motorhome, a similar RV setup to yours, and ask them how they're doing with gas mileage. Compare it. If there is a significant difference, then you might want to dig deeper and try and determine what it is that makes that difference. Maybe they don't travel with water in their tanks, and that would save money. Maybe they don't load up their tow vehicle if they're towing a car, but check it out that way and see what it is. Something else, often something, and this is something that Mark always suggests, is check your air filter. A clean air filter on your vehicle can improve your fuel economy up to 10% right off the bat, just that. And as you drive through dusty areas, and you know, even though you get it checked probably every time you do your normal service, if you're out there really running this RV hard, you might want to think about improving that, cleaning that, replacing that air filter, getting a clean air filter a little more often. Tire pressure is another big factor in fuel economy. So check it and adjust your tire pressure to the proper pressure. It can increase your fuel economy, they say, by 3%. Not to mention, of course, preventing tire wear and failures or blowouts caused by over or underinflated tires. Tires can look normal, but when they're underinflated, even seriously underinflated, you may think they look normal, but you want to check it always. Use a quality air pressure gauge. Check your tires when they're cold before you set off for the day, and make sure that they are set to the correct one. Look at the sticker inside the door wall that your manufacturer put for the tires, because they know how that RV is built. They know where the loads are the heaviest, and go with their estimates, not what's on the tire. Go with their estimates. Excessive idling wastes fuel, especially when you're doing a lot of air conditioning. If you're running the air all the time and you stop and you idle and you keep the air on, that wastes fuel. If you're going to be sitting still for more than a couple of minutes, they say if you shut the engine off, you'll save over letting it run. Use overdrive whenever you can. It saves fuel by decreasing the engine's speed. Use the cruise control on the freeway. That saves fuel because it keeps you at a constant speed rather than variable speeds. Keep in mind the there's a rule about 60 miles an hour. 60 is sort of the sweet spot. As soon as you get over 60, certainly when you get way over 70, mileage drops very fast. Mileage, miles per gallon drops very fast when you get over 60, 70 miles an hour. 60 is like that sweet spot. You can go all day at that. Keep your vehicle, of course, tuned up and in good condition. That saves fuel. They say a poorly tuned engine can lower fuel economy by as much as 20%. Did you know that? Poor emissions, faulty oxygen sensors, all that sort of stuff can cause a 40% reduction in fuel economy. You believe that? A 40% reduction with a bad oxygen sensor. So make sure you have regular maintenance and they check all of your oxygen and emission sensors on your vehicle. Every vehicle's a little different, so your service guy will know what to look for. That recommended service and maintenance, I can't stress that enough. You really want to stick to that. Use the same type of motor oil that the manufacturer recommends. That they say using a different grade of motor oil can affect it 1% to 2%. When you drive, watch for rapid acceleration. That really reduces fuel economy. They say pushing the accelerator down too fast, starting from from 5 to 33%, it will reduce fuel economy when you go too fast. So start smoothly and don't go rapid. And then probably the biggest thing for RVers is added weight. Added weight reduces fuel economy. And we're all guilty of this one. The one I would recommend that you follow is don't go with full water tanks, because water weighs so much money. You want to probably keep some water in it so you can flush the toilets while you're driving and you can run the faucet, but not much, just enough. And then fill up the water when you stop at the night for the night someplace, and then drain it out. You know, if you don't have to fill it up, that's great. Just hook up the city water and then you can leave in the morning. But don't carry too much water when you're driving. You just don't want to do that because that'll really, really bring down your mileage. And what else? Regular gas, unless your owner's manual says higher octane. Some people, they say, oh, I'm going to drive hard. I want to clean it out. And they put in high octane. Listen, you're just throwing your money away when you pay extra for premium fuel. Don't do that. Regular gas is just fine. So there you go. Those are some tips. I will put a link to all of them. You can find them. So you can just go to the show notes for this episode. When you get to a computer, roadtrekking.com/100, scroll down to RV Basic Training, and there'll be a link from that to this easy tips to get more miles from each gallon of fuel from our friend Mark Polk at RV Education 101, and put out by Campgrounds of America. So you'll find that. This part of the RV podcast brought to you by Campers Inn, which is the nation's largest family operated RV dealership. These guys have 15 locations on the East Coast. No matter what kind of RV you have, they've got it. They carry all the major brands, every different type of RV you want. I love the story of the way this company began. It began literally in 1966 when Art and Fran Hirsch, with their sons Bob and Dave and Jeff, invested literally the family's life savings to buy 4 folding tent trailers. And they started to sell them out of their front yard in Acton, Massachusetts. That was over 50 years ago. And now Campers Inn has grown to over 15 different locations on the East Coast. Just a terrific opportunity for you to check in with these. Go to their website, campersinn.com. Tell them that you heard about them on Road Trekking. They have award-winning RV sales and service, family-owned. Thousands of RVs at these dealerships, all at the best prices. They love to deal, and a great professional staff. 50 years and 3 generations later, since the Hirsches started it on their front yard, it remains now the largest family-operated RV dealership in the country with 15 locations in the East Coast. Great group, professional staff, certified. You'll like these guys. They're all terrific people, and they know what they're doing. Check them out. Campers Inn.
News. Mike's got news.
RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle.
Here's the Road Trekking News of the Week.
All right. Again, the News of the Week, I will put links to all of this on our show notes page. Just scroll down when you get to your computer, roadtrekking.com/100. Scroll down to News of the Week. First story comes from Northern Ontario, the community of Elliott Lake, where a couple left town. It's a little town up there, not too far from Sault Ste. Marie. And they got a shock when they came back home the other day. Roland Foisy and his wife Rita discovered that they were the victims of a break-in, but this was no ordinary break-in. Literally, a whole side wall in their travel trailer had been ripped open. It looks like, and if you go to the roadtrekking.com show notes page for this, roadtrekking.com/100, under News of the Week, you'll see a link to this and you can look at the story. It looks like somebody took a can opener and opened up the side of this travel trailer. This is in Elliott Lake, Ontario. And you know who did it? A bear. A bear did this about 3 a.m. on a Sunday morning, ripped open this whole section on one side of the trailer, got inside through a hole that it made in a bedroom area, and went noisin' around, just made a terrible mess on this thing, broke into their trailer. And when you see the picture, you'll be just astounded what this bear did. There was some food in the trailer, the couple said, but it was mostly cans. He was planning to take it in for an insurance appraisal, but he figured several thousand dollars at least. And when you see the picture, you'll agree. They've lived there. It's actually the travel trailer was part of the back of their house, which is in a trailer park there. They've lived there for 30 years and never had a problem like this. They've seen a lot of bears wander through their yard, they say, and on the street, and even snack on the neighbor's berries, but never did it break into anything. So they're all very leery about it now. And wildlife experts say that the bears normally are gorging themselves on blueberries this time of year, but it's been very dry and there's not a lot of blueberries in the bush. So the bears are on the move. And wait till you see what this bear did to their travel trailer. You go to the show notes page and click on that link and you can see. Heading west now to the great state of Wyoming and Yellowstone National Park. Yellowstone, because of that dry weather that has gripped almost all of North America, the continued hot, dry weather, and lots of wildfires out there, they have now banned all backcountry campfires of every kind. If you're going out in the backcountry, and a lot of you do, a lot of you camp there, but then you take you go out backcountry camping for a couple of nights, no charcoal or wood fires of any sort. All prohibited in the backcountry campsites. No, there are no fire sections in campgrounds, in the park campgrounds, or in picnic areas. But if you're going to do any backcountry camping, none of it. Portable stoves and lanterns, you know, that run on liquid or jellied petroleum or gas, those are allowed park-wide. But no campfires, charcoal or wood fires in the backcountry because it's so dry. Lots of wildfires out there. They had 10 fires so far this year, 4 of them caused by people, 6 the result of lightning strikes. There's 8 fires are now out, but it's quite the mess. One other story that I want to pass on, this is about National Geographic. Those of you who like to camp and get out in the boondocking territory, National Geographic has launched a free website that is just a terrific opportunity. Photographers love this, and so do RVers and campers. You can print your own topographic maps from this. Just terrific. A really nice job with this for anybody who likes to be outdoors. They put every U.S. Geological Survey topographical map from across the United States on one very easy to navigate site. They made it very easy to print this out at home. If you've ever gone looking for topographic maps, you know that it can be a bit of a pain because it's not only is it finding the exact quad that you're looking for difficult, they aren't formatted for standard printing and it's a mess. Well, this takes care of it. This new National Geographic website solves all those issues. The homepage will greet you with a searchable interactive map. All you have to do is search for and zoom in on the area you're looking for. And once you find the quad that you want, click on it and you'll get this printable PDF that'll load right up. It's a great link. I'll put a link to all of this. You'll find it on the News of the Week section at the roadtrekking.com website, roadtrekking.com. Show notes page for this, roadtrekking.com/100. This part of the podcast brought to you by Aldi, the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. Aldi's heating system is hydronic. That means it is high-end heat. It's the kind you'd find in luxury homes. You will love the Aldi hydronic system because it brings you so many features and benefits that you can't find with another product. It gives you this silent, radiant heat, this warm, even, natural, heated interior. It's great comfort. Interior space is increased because the Aldi system combines, you know, your hot water system and your heating system in one. It's really efficient. The whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC, and that means it'll extend the life of your propane about 40% over a forced air heater. You have all these options. The one that Jennifer and I like the most is our Aldi floor heat. Cold fall mornings or late at night when the temperature drops after the sun sets, it is so nice. You can pad around inside that RV barefoot. The floor is warmed and comfortable. It's really nice when you have to get up in the middle of the night. You know what I mean. Check it out. Aldi, they're available now on many different RVs. And ask the dealer, do you have the Aldi system? And I want it on mine. Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
Well, more and more people traveling with kids these days, and many of them are traveling full-time. They call it road learning, where they're actually doing homeschooling from RVs as they travel around. Others are just vacationing as much as you can with the kids on weekends, and even as school begins across North America, the RV season really doesn't wind down now until really the end of October in most places. So our buddy Steve Van Dinter has some interesting stuff for all of those who still have kids at home or maybe grandkids. Steve's tech tip of the week for you traveling techoids out there comes right up.
Hi there, Mike. Well, as you know, last week we started talking about some great apps for back to school season, but I didn't get a chance to mention all of my favorites, so I thought we'd continue this week with a few more. So grab your pen and paper, or ask Google or Siri to remind you of the following, because they're all free for Android and iOS devices. Well, first up, flashcards are helpful not just for improving math skills, but foreign language, history facts, pretty much anything you can think of. But making them out of paper can take time, and they're not always the easiest to carry around. Well, thanks to an app called Brainscape, you can actually create and review flashcards from any internet-connected device. Simply sign up for a free account and then choose from a list of already created flashcards based on a topic area, or you can make your own. In addition to text, you can add images and even multimedia. And they're super portable and don't take up any space, so there's no excuse for not using them. Again, that one is called Brainscape. Well, next, there can be times when you're working on a paper and you need to scan in a document or image. But scanners, as you know, always aren't around when you need them, or you may not have access at home at all. Well, thankfully, if you have a smartphone or a tablet, you are all set, thanks to a free app called Cam Scanner. You just fire up the app and it uses your device's built-in camera to take a picture of a document or an image. It'll automatically crop that photo or document, enhance it, and then allow you to share it as a PDF or a JPEG. And it works great for parents as well, allowing you to scan business cards and have them automatically added as contacts. What are they going to think of next? With this week's Traveling Technology Tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
All right, I'll put links to everything Steve just described on the show notes page, roadtrekking.com/100, just scroll down to Traveling Tech. Verizon, that's a system I use. I use the Jetpack Air Card. It is sets up a Wi-Fi network wherever we travel. I use that for all of our devices. And I was mentioning earlier, I don't really need this amplifier system I had. I have a cell amplifier I bought 5 years ago. I needed it back when I first started. But this Verizon 4G LTE system is just so advanced now and so proficient in getting me through. I don't have to have any problem. I'm always able to get a signal. And the few times when I've been really in the backcountry, then I've used that cell booster, but pretty reliable communications. And you can look at all the surveys out there. Verizon ranks number one in just about every single one. So There you go. Verizon. Hey, speaking of technology, one of our newer sponsors joined us a couple of weeks ago, and that's Rad Power Bikes. And they make something called e-bikes, electric bikes. And you wonder what they are? These are so cool. These are regular bikes that you can pedal, okay? That you can pedal, but they have an electric motor on them, and they give you this assist. These vehicles with zero pedaling, with this little electric motor, can get you up to 20 mile an hour speeds. Isn't that amazing? You get the choice to ride pedal free with a throttle, or you can just pedal. And you can use pedal and assist if you want. You have five different levels of pedal assist, so you get this little extra boost or combination of your pedaling and its pedaling. They're really neat. It's perfect for people who want to get back into riding, or maybe are recovering from surgery or injury, or just want to get a little extra help when you're maybe traveling out west, a lot of hills, and you want to get a little help getting over them. You can travel between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge with these things. This is how amazing they really are. Go to radpowerbikes.com. All one word, rad, R-A-D, powerbikes.com. Use the word road trekking when you buy, and you'll save up to $75 on three different models, all of them able to reach 20 miles an hour. Three different e-bike models. Why do you want to buy from Rad Power Bikes? Because they sell direct to you, the consumer. No large retail markup that would be present if you were buying from a third party. You are always assured of getting a performance e-bike at a fraction of the cost. RadPowerBikes.com, and be sure and tell them that you heard about it at Road Trekking, and you'll save an extra $75.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique road trekking RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right. We love getting these off the beaten path reports, and this is something that you can help us with. We love to get your input as well as you travel about. All you have to do is use the leave voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com website. Leave voicemail, and you just record your message, and we get to play it. And if I use your off the beaten path report on an episode of this podcast, I'll send you a free road trekking hat. This week, it comes from a good friend of ours named Larry Daniel. Larry is a photographer. He's known on our Facebook group as Ozarks Photo. He has been on the road, I think he started on this trip back in the winter time, and he's still traveling. And this report finds him out in, where was he? He was out in Oregon, and he offers up this report, an off the beaten path report from reader Larry Daniel.
Hello, Mike and Jennifer. Ozarks Photos here, a.k.a. Larry. After spending a night on the Oregon beach, we drove into Brookings to get my favorite Starbucks and a few groceries. Then we decided to do a little exploring to find a place for Mittens to take Marilyn for his walk. Anytime Mittens is outside our road trek, he has Marilyn on a leash, or vice versa. He decides where they're going. First, we went to the city park. They were having a music festival, and there was no parking to be found. And we also thought that Mittens might not enjoy the music and loud noises. We saw on a map that there was a campground and park about 8 miles east of Brookings, so we decided to explore a little more. Well off the beaten track, we discovered the Alfred A. Loeb State Park and Campground. There was a large open area that Marilyn felt Mittens would enjoy walking. As she was finishing her exploration of the area with Mittens, a nice couple walked by and commented on the cat on a leash. They also admired our new road trek. They said they had just walked out of the campground and noticed that their favorite spot was open. They encouraged us to register for that spot and enjoy the campground. We decided to give it a try, and we are happy that we did. They have electric, so we could watch a DVD that we had not viewed and enjoy a couple of games of Skip-Bo. We liked the spot so well, we decided to spend another night. If any of your members are in the area, they may want to check out the Alfred A. Loeb State Park and Campground. They have 45 electrical sites, 3 cabins, and it is located on the Chetco River.
Well, thank you very much, Larry, for sending that in, and we will put a link up to that Alfred A. Loeb State Park and Campground there in Oregon. We appreciate that from Larry Daniels, our friend Ozarks Photo. Okay, so if you can't get into that park, where do you go? Well, or if you needed to find it while you're out in that area, what? How do you do that? How do you find parks like that? Well, it's very simple if you use the app called AllStays. AllStays, A-L-L-S-T-A-Y-S. They have been the internet's number one RV and camping app since 2010. They've been providing traveler information now for 16 years through a free website, an enhanced subscription website that has all sorts of great extra services, and their app. Camp and RV, that's the name of the app. The Camp and RV app from AllStays, the number one camping app, because it has everything. It lists camping spots of every possible kind you would want, from private resorts to county parks down to roadside pull-offs in the forest. You can find places like Walmarts and Cracker Barrels. You can find places to boondock, truck stops, rest stops, dump stations, supplies. You can filter your search by whatever you want. And then if you go to their website, you'll find AllStays Pro for those who prefer computers and don't want to use an app, they want a bigger screen, use AllStays Pro because it works in your web browser with full screen maps. You just need to check this app out. It's the only one I use now. It's literally the only one I need. You can set it however you want. It pulls up wherever I'm traveling. It will show me. I've got it set to show me places I can stay. I can camp. If I'm on an interstate, it shows me where the next rest area is. Shows me where I can dump. It is such a terrific app. Go to there's a link onto the show notes page for this, but just go to AllStays, search for AllStays, and you can get this app. It is truly the only app that you need if you are an RVer and you're looking for a place to go. Check it out. AllStays.
Traveling North America in a Class B motor home. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
Well, there we go. Episode 100. And Jennifer didn't think it would last. 100, all done and wrapped up nice and neat. Next week will be episode 101 as we now work towards our second 100 episodes. So just delighted to have you a part of this. This is quite a celebration. Again, I want to thank Governor Rick Snyder from Michigan for sending us that special honorary tribute that he had all typed up, and his press secretary, Ari Adler, who happens to be a road trekker himself. Thank you for listening, because you are the one who has made this program possible. Please, as we talked about at the very top of the show, use the leave voicemail link on the right-hand side of the roadtrekking.com blog and pass along your comments, your suggestions, your questions. It really is fun to go back and forth and to hear your voices on there as well, besides Jennifer and mine. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Check out our Facebook group for 24/7, 12 months a year, every day of the week. There's somebody on our Facebook group that can help you out with questions, and it's a great place for resources as well. You can subscribe to our newsletter and join about, working on 20,000 subscribers who now get a special email message from us every week, linking us to all sorts of RV information. You can learn how to subscribe to that from the roadtrekking.com blog on the internet. Till next week, every Wednesday, a new edition. Next week, 101. We'll see you then. I'm Mike Wendland. Thanks for putting us in your ear.